Welcome to episode 116 of Practical Defense, Mailbag. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. This week, we're once again dipping into the mailbag. And again, I've gotten really behind on my email messages. In fact, new ones arrive almost daily these days. I think the only way I'm going to keep on top of them is to start including a mail section in each full episode. They're always great reading, and many include some really good tips and comments on some of the shows. It's really kind of a waste to let them languish in my mailbox. Let me assure you that even if I don't respond to you personally, I do read each and every single one. Also this week, we are joined once again by Tony Brown, and Tony discusses some routine vehicle maintenance to help keep you out of trouble on the road. But before we get into all of that, I want to apologize for the delay in posting of the show. The past week has been really busy for the Haddix household. As those that follow the show on Twitter and Facebook already know, my wife's car was broken into and her work laptop was stolen. Here's the kicker. It happened while her car was parked in our home driveway. Yeah, nice, eh? She discovered the theft while she was driving to work on Monday morning. She was driving down the street and suddenly her rear passenger door opened on its own. Yep, it opened while she was driving. Now she pulled over and checked her belongings and discovered that her laptop was missing. Now there's no way that the laptop could have fallen out as it was tucked away between items in the storage compartment of her hatchback. What we think happened was that the thief entered her car from the back seat, took his time, searched the vehicle, found the laptop, took it, and when he left, he didn't shut the door all the way, probably because of the noise. It was shut enough that my wife didn't notice that it was open, but not closed enough that it would stay shut while bouncing down the street. Now for the part that's kind of hard to admit. We don't know this for certain, but there is a good chance my wife failed to lock her car. Yeah, I know. She was really bad about keeping her car locked in when it was in her driveway. It's embarrassing, but there's a lesson to be learned here, and one that even my wife will now remember. Even in nice neighborhoods, you need to lock your car doors even if the car is parked in your driveway. Oh, guess what we saw while we were driving to the market on Sunday morning? A group of guys were canvassing the neighborhood, putting flyers and pamphlets on every doorstep. We don't know when her car was broken into, so we don't know if it was one of these guys on Sunday morning or not. It could have happened any time between when she last drove her car on Friday night to when she left for work on Monday morning. We drove my truck and all the errands and things over the weekend. But it was something I noticed, and I even pointed it out to my wife as we drove by. The good news is that my wife works for the local school system and they have tracer chips installed in nearly all of their computers, so there's a good chance it'll be recovered. She personally knows of one instance where one of her schools had a break-in and some of the computers were stolen. They were all recovered because of these chips. Now, unfortunately, we are still at risk for a few more months. What happens is that after the criminals break in and rob a residence or even a business, they'll wait and return in a few months for another go. So right after the event, everyone's at a heightened state of awareness. However, after a while, the shock wears off and most people return to their old bad habits. Also, in a few months, the insurance money is paid for replacement of the stolen items. So the criminals wait a few months until things quiet down, old habits are reinstated, and then the items are replaced, and then they hit you again. So besides that, I was also kept busy last week putting together packets for bids on contracts for my workplace violence prevention courses. We had 4 hospitals express interest in our course, so I was pretty wrapped up in that. Now switching subjects a bit here, for the shooters out there, I recommend that you check out episode 24 of the Gunfighter Cast with Daniel Shaw. Now Daniel does a fantastic analysis of shooting stances, and he has the best comparison and contrast of the Weaver stance versus the isosceles stance that I have ever heard. It is really something you guys should check out. Now for a quick background on Daniel, he's a sergeant with the U.S. Marine Corps with 13 years in, he's currently on active duty, and he's stationed in Okinawa, Japan. Among his other duties, he's a firearms instructor for the Marine Corps. Now, as the son of a Marine, I can assure you they pride themselves on their rifle skills. And with that, we'll be right back with Tony Brown and some vehicle maintenance tips.
Hello again, everyone. This is Tony Brown. I'm host of both Firearms Cafe and the Armed 8 podcast. I'd like to take a little bit of time to thank Alex for having me back on his show to do another segment for you. So thank you, Alex. On today's segment, we'll talk about setting up some routine vehicle maintenance that you can do to prevent a minor inconvenience from becoming a major problem. Now, I'm recommending that you do this maintenance on a Friday once you have arrived home from work. I know some of us out there don't have traditional weekends off. If this is you, just pick the day that your quote-unquote weekend starts. We want to get in the habit of doing this because, after all, it is called routine maintenance. And by doing your checks on Friday, if there is a problem, you'll have the whole weekend to solve it. The first thing to look at is the tires. Make sure that they are all properly inflated to the right pressure for your vehicle. If you're not sure what the correct pressure is, you can either check the owner's manual, or on the driver's side door frame on most cars will be a sticker with that information listed. This is also a good time to check the condition of the tires. See if there are any screws or nails that have become embedded in the tire. Look for any bulges, cuts, or splits in the sidewalls. Also check for excessive or uneven tread wear. Secondly, check your oil. Nothing will ruin your day faster than having the mechanic tell you that the engine is shot because of a lack of oil. If you don't know how to check the oil, most owner's manuals will have a section on that with a few photos or diagrams. Next on our checklist, since we have the hood up already, is to take a look at all the fluids. These include brake fluid, radiator, battery, as well as windscreen washer fluids. While you're under the hood, take note of the condition of the hoses and belts. Look to see if there's anything loose or if there's any cracking or splitting. Also, it's a good time to check to see if there's any corrosion on the battery terminals. And you can identify this as a gray-white powdery substance around the terminals. Now, this is a simple and practical thing that everybody can do. It also gives you some knowledge and familiarity with your vehicle, and this can help you from being taken advantage of by an unscrupulous person. This routine maintenance may take you 15 or 20 minutes the very first time you do it, but the more you do it, the faster you'll become. You'll probably get it down to under 5 minutes. In closing, I'll cover one more thing. What if you have an older car or bought a used one and there is no owner's manual? An excellent resource is an aftermarket manual. They contain a wealth of information and provide lots of photos and diagrams. These can be found at most auto parts stores for most makes and models. The two major publishers are Chilton and Haynes. That will do it for today's segment. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks again, Tony. You always have some really great information. Okay, jump into the emails. The first email is from Zach. He writes, "First and foremost, I want to thank you for your work on the Practical Defense podcast. I already employ many of the tactics you use, and it's always helpful to get a different perspective to refresh the mind. Thanks so much." Well, thanks for listening. One idea that I thought was particularly interesting was how you deal with credit cards. I don't remember in which episode it was discussed, but the idea was to have several credit cards and only use one for online purchases. You mentioned that you regularly change your credit card numbers for security purposes. Great idea. Today, I went to my bank to get a new debit card. I presented my card to the teller and asked that she issue a new card. When she questioned me as to why I wanted it, I said, "Just for security reasons. After all, the card was not lost or stolen." She didn't understand why I would ask for a replacement if mine was working fine. To make a long story short, this particular teller had to call in the manager to complete my request. It was an ordeal, to say the least. I shared this incident with you because most people are 100% oblivious to the need to keep personal information safe. The teller was mostly confused at the fact that I wanted my card changed since it had not been lost or stolen. While standing there, I would have liked her to reissue the card immediately with no questions asked. I may jump in the gun here. I felt like I was asking for something major. Anyways, I learned that next time, it's easier just to tell them my card was stolen. Thanks for all your hard work. Keep it coming. P.S. Here's another tip you might like. For those of us with GPS navigation in the car, don't set the Go Home feature to actually go home. Set it to a location a few miles away from home. In the event of a car theft, or worse, a carjacking, the criminal would have your car, probably your garage door opener, and all he has to do is press the Go Home button to wipe out the house. That's why I have my registration hidden and tried to remove my address from the vehicle. Thanks for sharing your experiences, Zach. Some people are really just clueless, even in the banking industry that's supposed to be security conscious. And by the way, your tip about the GPS is a great idea and one that I hadn't even thought of. After I got your email, I reset the GPS in my own truck. The next email is from Jesse from Columbus, Ohio. He writes, "This morning on my way to work, I witnessed a car accident. Not your usual rear end, no big deal, but a person ran a red light and got blasted. At the point of impact, a few things happened that I had not thought of until that instant. Now, I work on cars, so I'm guessing if I didn't think of it, your listeners might want to know. This happened in the middle of a five-lane intersection, fairly large. One is one way, so all five lanes go that way, and the other is a two-lane each with a turn lane. The car that was hit traveled a good 100-plus feet away, hopped a 3 to 4 inch curb before finally finding itself a spot on the top of a small decorative wall that thankfully stopped it. So what surprised me? 1. Side curtain airbags, which this guy had deployed. This makes it really tough to see out that side, which in this case was the driver's side. So now I have a driver that just got hit that can't see out an entire side of his car. I'm guessing this didn't help his orientation much. 2. The accelerator stuck, but all four wheels of the car were undamaged. This paired with the car's newfound sideway energy from the impact caused the car to slide and accelerate very nicely onto the sidewalk toward a couple of people who were standing there or were walking to work. This car was not stopping until it hit something that would disable it. Luckily, a small brick wall that, well, was about 3 feet high, propped the car up just enough so that it couldn't go forward. This car was front-wheel drive. It wasn't very stable, still rocking back and forth as I made my way across the street. 3. The presence of mind, or lack thereof, of the people involved and that witnessed it was nothing short of amazing. One person that almost got hit was on the phone by the time I crossed the street, which was nice. However, remember those wheels that I mentioned earlier, still moving and full throttle. The driver was just out of the car and wanting to go see how the other person is, while his car was still a huge danger to others. I told him to turn his car off. The other guy was barely out of the intersection and parked his black car in the right lane. Early morning, people are still half asleep and you've got a black car with no lights on. I had him turn on his four-way warnings. 4. I, too, was lucky. No one was bleeding in any way. Now, why would I say that? I've been kicking around the idea of getting an EMT certification because, being a kid's baseball coach, going to the range, working on cars, I'm around a bit more dangerous situations more often and generally think it would be a good idea to have and to know how. And my day job is a software developer. Who'd have thought? Thanks, Zach. When people are in their normal daily routines, they fall into a haze. They're in a state of zero awareness. They become clueless automatons. Then, when something unusual happens, it stuns them and they stop thinking. The brain just shuts down with the shock. Only people with training, previous trauma experience, or those who have made a conscious effort to become aware are really able to react quickly. That is one of the reasons why awareness training is so crucial to survival. Just by taking an interest in this podcast and making an effort to learn more about your surroundings puts you in probably the top 5% of the population. It makes you uncommon. Now, your comment about blood is an important one, and I really want to emphasize that. That's why back in episode 20, when I talked about vehicle safety, I recommended keeping a box of latex gloves in your glove box. They not only keep your hands from becoming dirty when you have to do some emergency maintenance on your car or pump gas, if you're involved in an accident or need to render aid to someone who was just in one, you have something that protects you while you help them. So thanks again, Zach. Those are some excellent points and some really good example. Our next email is from Jimmy in New Jersey, and he writes about his experience on his honeymoon. Hey now, guys, it's not that type of email, and this is a family show, even though he did include pictures. He writes, I train regularly with other friends in self-defense scenarios, and I mention your podcast all the time. Hey, thank you. I listen to all of your podcasts, and I remember your hotel security podcast. I want to tell you a story about a hotel incident while on honeymoon in Bali that happened to me recently. I've included photos so I can show a better visual setup. I don't want to name the hotel since this can happen at any hotel. Here's the description of the hotel window so I can give a good setup. We had a hotel suite that is on the ground floor because of the walkway right outside of our windows. There is a lot of exotic shrubbery outside and wooded blinds so you can have your privacy. Now these windows are huge, a person can walk right in, and the hotel guest can push open each window like two doors. So there are two double door windows that have one latch on top for each window, four latches in total. I hope that makes sense. Now when we first arrived at the hotel, I wanted to put our valuables away in the hotel safe box. I tested the safe before I put my valuables in and locked it, but it wouldn't open again. I called the hotel staff and she had to call the maintenance worker. They spent a good 20 minutes and couldn't open it. They told us they would have to contract the maintenance supervisor in the morning to see if he could fix it. So before we went to sleep, I checked the windows and doors to make sure they were locked. The next morning, we had breakfast at the hotel restaurant. While we were eating, the waiter would ask for our room number so room service could clean our room. When we went back to our room, I noticed that room service had opened our blinds. I didn't want people passing by looking in, so while I was closing the blinds for each window, one of them pushed open. I found that strange that it would open since I checked it last night. I pushed the window latch in to lock it and had to struggle with it, but it closed. We stepped out of the room to use a swimming pool. The hotel staff told us that the maintenance supervisor checked the safe while we were out at the pool, and he was unable to fix it. When we came back to our room, we were planning to leave again, and I wanted to check the window real quick. The same window opened again. I decided to investigate and noticed that a piece of black foam core was blocking the latch hole. The foam core was cut perfectly to fit into the latch hole. I realized that the hotel staff was planning to rob us while we were gone. Last night, we mentioned that we were planning a day trip to the hotel staff and they knew that we'd be gone for hours. The safe wouldn't work, so they knew the valuables would be left behind. They wanted to rob us and leave the window open, so the blame would go to us for being negligent if we try to call the police to file a report. After much discussion, we decided to take all of the valuables with us and secure the room. We decided to put the Do Not Disturb sign while we were gone. I took the added measure of putting a twisty tie between the door as a precaution. I wanted to know if the twisty tie dropped when we came back to the room, like in the movies, which means they entered without permission. The hotel room door is a double door, so it was pretty easy to put something between it. The hotel staff did not go into our room, but it was a complete eye-opener. I wanted to confront them, but my wife was against it, and in reality, it was my word against theirs. Wow, this is an amazing story, Jimmy, and I'm glad that you and your wife are okay and that you returned safely. And also, congratulations on your marriage. Great job on checking out the room. When I travel, I always check the room every time I enter it for that very reason. In a hotel, you have no idea who's been in there while you were out. Now, for those of you with the dirty minds, the pictures that Jimmy included with his message were the piece of foam that was jammed into the latch hole, the window, and the latching mechanism. Based upon what he sent to me, it really was no accident. Well, although I have a ton of more email to go through, I am out of time for this week. I'll try to whittle away at all the backlog messages in future episodes. But please, keep sending them in. I will eventually get to all of them.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
As this is a mailbag episode, there is no summary this week. But of course, I always want to mention that in celebration of my column moving from the website to the print edition of Taekwondo Times magazine, we have an exclusive promo code for a 20% discount on 1 and 2 year subscriptions. The promo code is PRACDEF01, That's PRACDEF01, and you can enter that at checkout. The subscription to the print edition of the magazines includes digital copies as well. You can find the promo code and a link in the show notes. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
Tom Gilmore lives on a farm. There's a storm on the way, so he's boarding up the windows of his house.
Haley Williams lives in an apartment. It's a beautiful day. She's making her usual monthly donation to the American Red Cross.
Tom doesn't know a tornado will leave his family with no place to go.
Haley doesn't know her gift will help give Tom's family shelter.
When you support the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your area.
Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddix.com. That's podcast@alexaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddix.com.